I just want to bring you a little word, and it is a little word. I am conscious that the children and the youth have gone to the school, so my words need to be more than little because they need time to walk up, to be taught, and then to walk back. It's not right. So if I just end in 5 minutes, there's a problem because you parents are going to wait. But however, here's the little word. The Bible asks the question, what is life? What is life? It's like a vapor. It's here and then it's gone. And over the years, as I stand at the graveside and bury people and have taken funerals of friends and of family, I am reminded over and over that life is so brief. We're here and we're gone. There was a television program, some of you older ones may remember it, Eamon Andrews. He used to come in with a red book, and the program was called This Is Your Life. And he would take famous people aside and take them to the studio, the television studio, and he would go through their life. But the question I'm asking today, what is life? We know that in lockdown over past months and with COVID-19, life has taken on a different meaning for some of us. Many in our community, and maybe you too as an individual, you have been asking a question. Questions about life. What is it about? If a small virus can just stop the world. And we know that nation after nation are still struggling with this virus that came upon the scene in 2020 and will go on for a long time. But you're maybe asking, who am I? Why am I here? Someone said, whether it's true or not, there can be something worse than death. And that is to live life with no purpose. I don't entirely agree with that, because if you die and not know the Lord, you will face the consequences of that. But I thank God for the blessed hope we have in Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. We can rest secure and sleep at night knowing that there's no condemnation to those in Christ. Someone else said, when I came to die, I discovered I had not lived. I saw it. When I came to die, I discovered I had not lived. And God wants you, all of you, to understand and enjoy life. To know purpose in life. Not to be running, toing and froing aimlessly with no direction, no purpose. God wants you to know life. Life being fulfilled. And the key to know life is not so much as to where we are, but in what direction am I going? So that's a challenge for us. Where are you going in life? What's your purpose? Well, what are you doing at present? What will you do in 5 years from now? What will you do in 10 years from now? Do you have a vision? Do you have a purpose? Or is life just ticking along, going nowhere? I fancy going on a cruise. Fancy all that lovely food, more food, all those activities. The only problem about a cruise, two things. One, there's no golf course. And two, Amelia hates water. So it would be impossible to go on a cruise. But I fancy it. You know, fancy getting all dressed up for dinner and being at the captain's table, eating the best foods. But can you imagine, just imagine for a moment, going on a cruise to nowhere? Can you imagine what that would be like? People board the cruise ship. They leave the pier. But instead of setting out for a location where there's a beach and a different port to visit day after day, they go out to sea. And what they do, they just travel in circles for a few days. Meanwhile, they dine on the best food. They lounge around at the pool. They enjoy the shows. They participate in all the onboard activities. But, and it's a big but, they're going nowhere. And the problem with a lot of people in their lives, it's like a cruise going nowhere. They are on a trip with no set destination, no chartered course. They're engaged, yes, in many activities. They're busy, 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 but traveling in circles. Life is going nowhere. And maybe you can just identify that image of a cruise going nowhere. But friends, listen to me and listen hard, please. Life is too short just to be going round and round in circles with no purpose. Life, particularly for us as Christians, because we will have to give an account to God for the things that we have done. Life is too short for us to have no direction nor meaning in life. Several weeks ago, we were studying the book of Ephesians. What an amazing book. But over and over again in those first couple of chapters, we come across this phrase, according to his eternal purpose. According to his eternal purpose. And we must understand our eternal purpose. Because life, listen, life is not about 70 years here on earth. God has placed eternity in my heart, amen. And my life and your life and your purpose will go on and on and on for eternity, amen. Thank God when death comes, it's not the end, it is the beginning, because our purpose is eternal. And we must come to understand our eternal purpose, that God has his destiny for each of us. It's important, so important, for each one of us to have meaning in life, to have direction. I thank God, as a 17-year-old who was addicted, not to drugs, not to alcohol, but nevertheless, I was addicted. I was addicted to sport. I was addicted to golf. Yes, it kept me from the troubles back in Northern Ireland because I lived on the golf course. But when at 17, my friend became a Christian, and I too became a Christian, and God gave me direction. God came into my life and gave me purpose. I was just reflecting the other week when I was at Dye Abbey, just how good God has been over these years. Amen. I would have life no other way. God has been so, so good. So I don't want you fretting, stressing, wondering, what is life about? I want you to discover your purpose in God. It was Rick Warren who said that we are born by his purpose for his purpose. And that's wonderful because I did not become a Christian by myself. It was the Spirit of God that quickened my heart to make me alive to the things of God. God set me apart. God called me. I was in darkness, but God called me into his light. I was dead. Dead men can't hear. But God quickened my ears to make me hear. Amen. God made me alive. Praise God. He called me. The Bible says that I can't get this into my mind. Even before the foundation of the world, he had chosen me. What? Before my mother and father came together, God had me in mind. And you. So please, Christian, don't go wandering around in life with no direction. Because if you have no direction, it will breed discontentment. And how many are in discontentment today because they do not know purpose in life? Lives with discontentment will increase the risk of depression. And God wants you to know joy and peace. Amen. Some of you bought the book I recommended at the beginning of the year. It was a book by Dave Smith on well-being. In fact, some of you were so blessed by it. We can now download the videos, and I intend in the autumn to do a little study, have a study group, maybe on a Sunday night, just over the hour, just to look at our well-being. It's a brilliant book on well-being. Because God wants us to be well, not just emotionally, not just physically and financially, but spiritually. It's a great, challenging book, a very, very practical book. And it was Dave Smith, the author, who said, those with a sense of purpose tend to set in ways that increase their physical and mental well-being. A lot of talk about mental well-being. Well, find purpose. Find purpose. I love the story that's found in John's Gospel in chapter 20. The disciples had been with Jesus for 3 years, mentored, taught by the Master himself. And suddenly, as darkness came upon Golgotha, Jesus died on a cross. The disciples, their dreams were scattered. Their hopes were gone. The Messiah, the one who had come, whom they put their trust in, was away. And we read in John chapter 20 that the disciples were in the upper room and they were locked in because of the fear of the Jews. Did you get the scenario? Before they were with Jesus, Jesus dies. Now, as a group of believers, they are locked in because of fear. We read that the doors were shut. And as I reflect upon this season of COVID-19, it's been a challenging time for our world, a challenging time for our communities, a challenging time for our government. Who would like to be a prime minister in these times? Huh? You can never get anything right. It's a challenging time for leaders. But we too, maybe we have experienced some kind of lock-in. I can remember that first lockdown. And it was quite strange to come to church on a Sunday and no one was around because sometimes I would just operate from the office. And we would do pre-recording, but it was so strange. It was so quiet. And even the weeds were growing up in the car park. The whole place was derelict. But just maybe that we're still in lockdown mentally because of fear and anxiety. You see, being in lockdown, there was no connection. We understand those guidelines, but there was no connection. We could only shop. We could only have 1 hour exercise. That was not enough to play golf. Nor could I. It was closed. Couldn't even walk around it. Doors were shut. These disciples were in the upper room and they were in lockdown. But they were in lockdown because their hopes had gone. But Jesus comes. Jesus comes. The resurrection Christ. Him who was dead, who is now, got power over death. He in his resurrection comes. The risen Christ. and he stands in their midst. I love this. Can you imagine the scene in the upper room? They're locked down. They're locked in. They're in fear. And the Messiah, he comes and he stands in their midst. And Jesus comes and he gives them four things. And he says to them, peace. Peace be unto you. And you know, church, we need peace. There's maybe some of you who are watching, maybe not today, but maybe tomorrow, and there's still a fear and there's an anxiety. Can I just say, with all the kindness and with all grace, God has not given to you the spirit of fear, amen. He has given to you the spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. And yes, be careful. Yes, be wise. And when we get back in 2 weeks' time, doesn't mean that we just don't abide by any regulation. Why? Because God wants us to be wise. But do not be fearful. And I say to the community today, peace, amen. I say to you, peace, peace. And Jesus said to these disciples who were locked down, he said, peace. How we need the peace of God to rule and to govern our hearts. The second thing he gave them joy. Because we read that the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. We need to see the Lord again. We need to feel the Lord's presence again, amen, in our midst. We need to have that joy in our relationship with him again, amen. That's why I love connecting with church, because we're creating something for the presence of God to come and dwell. Because I need the joy of God in my soul. And the third thing that he gave them, in verse 21 of chapter 20, he gave them direction. He said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And how we need direction in life. And the fourth thing he gave them the Holy Spirit. Did you understand that? Because at that, up to that moment, before the resurrection, their experience of the Holy Spirit was limited. And Jesus, he breathed on them the breath of the Holy Spirit. I couldn't fully understand that, because sometime later he said, I want you to wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit. Did they receive the Holy Spirit in Acts 20 or not? Why did they have to wait until some weeks later in Jerusalem? I can tell you, at that moment, after the resurrection, when Jesus breathed on them the Holy Spirit, they were born again of the Spirit. Hallelujah. They were quickened. They were made alive. But they had to wait for the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that's why we need to be filled with the Spirit and baptized in the Spirit. Amen. Over and over again. Not just the experience of being born of the Spirit, but being filled and baptized in the Spirit. Yes, the disciples who were living in fear needed the experience of the fact that Jesus is alive to give direction. And we need to wake up and understand why we are living. Sometimes we paint a wrong picture of success. We think that success, well, if I tick all the boxes, I'm successful. I've got plenty of money in the bank, I'm happy. I've got plenty of wealth, I've got great possessions, I've got a great big home, I've got a swimming pool. Life is great. I am successful and I am so, so happy. Success is power. Success is beauty. That's why many are spending millions, millions and millions trying to have different facelifts. Isn't it true? I feel sad for those who, I better not go there, but you see some, and they get a facelift, and I look and I think, their mouth is more like a frog. Have you seen that? I have, I'm being honest. I saw someone on TV last night, an actress, and I thought, why did she ever get a face? You know, why did she get her lips done? went wrong. But they spent millions and millions and millions. I'm going to ask you, are you happy if you have possessions and wealth? No. Are you happy if you have all the beauty products and try and make yourself beautiful? No. Are you happy? Happy if you've got all the power? The answer is no. I've just put my phone on. It says today, Italy versus England. Well, I know that. I just want the word of God. Don't know how that crept up. Because I came out. No, I've got my Bible on my phone, but I like a paper copy. But I thought I'd downloaded this portion of scripture on my phone, only to discover that it hadn't saved. So here we are. I love the story that Jesus tells of the rich fool. Boy, he had plenty of wealth. Let me just get it for you. It's found in Luke chapter 12. Let me just read it for you. And he said, the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He was wealthy. He was ticking the boxes. Life was going well for this guy. My goodness, business was well. The economy was well for him. He had nothing to worry about. He was raking it in. Oh, he was raking it in so much, he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have too much money. I have too much possessions. I have too much. What will I do? And this is what he said. He said, I'll tear down my barns and I will build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. I think he missed a point, this guy, because if God blesses you, you need to be generous with what God has given to you, don't you? That's why as a church, we love generosity. And by the way, because of your generosity and because of your giving, we've been able to bless Rachel and John in Paraguay for £2,000 to help toward a vehicle this week. Amen. That's something. Praise God. So thank God we're able to do certain things. But this man, he thought that wealth was for him. Wealth is to keep. Wealth is to store. Just build it up. Bigger. And he said to himself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. He was secure. Great. I've got enough to last me for many, many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Sounds good. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Who will get all that you have prepared for yourself? Who will get it? Friends, if you want to know why you were placed on this planet, as Rick Warren said, you must begin with God. The foundation is not our wealth, it's not our possessions, it's nothing but God. You were born by His purpose, for His purpose. And until you understand that, life will make no sense. In Him, the Bible says, we live and we move and we have our being. It is only in God that we discover our origin. It is only in our God that we discover our identity. It is only in God that we discover meaning. It is only in God that we discover our purpose, our significance. It is only in God that we discover our destiny. It's in Him we live. So I ask you today, What is your vision for life? What are your goals? Jesus said, he said, my meat is to do the will of him who sent me. In other words, my satisfaction, my whole purpose in life is to do the will of him who sent me. And you are on this earth for a purpose. So don't waste your life. Bible says, redeem the time. Make the most of every opportunity. Buy the time. Seize it. Don't waste life. Because God has given you a purpose. We are reminded again in Ephesians that we are his workmanship. Amen. His workmanship. His work of art. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. And here's the key to your well-being. Come on. Here's the key. Discovering God's purpose for your life. Some try drink. Some try drugs. Only to find emptiness. Some try religion. Hoping to discover peace with God. But religion will not satisfy you. Drugs and drink will not satisfy you. Golf will not satisfy you. Sport won't. See, the Bible says there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the ways thereof lead to destruction. But Jesus said, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Did you know what Jesus said? Because he doesn't get it wrong. He didn't say, I am a way. Because there's not many ways to God. There's only one way. That is the uniqueness of Christianity, not just in the resurrection, but in the statements that Jesus made, the great I am statements. He said, I am the way. I am truth. I am life. And for life to be real, we need more than a cheap solution. We need more than a quick fix. We need to know God's peace. And Jesus came that we would understand truth. He came and he died in our place on a cross that we would be reconciled with God. And today we know that reconciliation with our Father who is in heaven. His death was no accident. He came that we might know life. See, the cross of Jesus has power to transform your life and has power to transform my life, because in Jesus' death, it releases the power of God's mercy. It releases the power of God's grace. It releases the healing of God. Amen. Because by his stripes, we are healed. I'm sure we've all had the experience of getting lost in driving our cars. Before the days of smartphones, when your phone can just tell you what direction. Mind you, when I was in Wales some years ago, I ended up in a mountain, and I thought, how on earth did I get up that mountain? I think Zenny was there with me, and someone else was with me. We were going somewhere, but the sat nav took me up a mountain. It's true. Like, can you imagine me stopping at the local graveyard and asking a dead person for directions? No, of course you wouldn't. Can you imagine me asking someone who's alive, hey, mate, can you tell me where the big wheel is? It was the mine. I can't remember the name of it now. It was a lovely museum there in Wales. And plus it was free admission. That really did it for me. Can you imagine me asking, what direction? And he says, look, you go down this road, you turn left. And when you get up there, you see traffic lights, you turn right. You go down there, you'll come to a roundabout. Third on the left, go down there. It's second on the left. And by that time, I'm confused. I've asked for directions. He's given me directions. But what if He gets into the car. And he becomes the way. He shows me the way. A total different matter. I can relax because he's given the directions. And you know, friends, that's what Jesus does. He just doesn't show you the way. He is the way. And he said to you and I, and for I can remember that night in February 1975, my old pastor, in fact, he was preaching on Facebook last night. I did post it. You want to listen to an Irish preacher? Bill, George would know him, Billy McKinless. Real good preacher. Just a little 6 minutes thing was brilliant. And he taught me this. He said, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And God wants to come into your life. For those of you who are believers, God wants to give you direction. He wants to lead you with purpose, not to be running around, wasting your life aimlessly, doing other things when you need to be in the center of his will and the center of his purpose. And transformation will only come by discovering God's purpose for your life. And so I pray, maybe you're not a believer. I pray today that you just open your heart and spirit and say, Lord, I acknowledge you. Direct my life. Come into my life. You said you would come in. You said you would sup with me. You said you would fellowship with me. Help me. I'm lost. And I pray, if you're watching on video, if you're here at the school, that you just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit to allow God to lead you in his direction. God wants to take control of your life, to guide you, to lead you into your destiny. Because he has set you free. Amen. You're no longer locked down in fear. You've been set free. He's given you peace, joy, direction, and he's given you the Holy Spirit. We're going to pray that the Holy Spirit would come upon us right now. Amen. Just going to ask you to close your eyes. Bow your heads. If you're at home watching, I pray that you would open your heart to God. And maybe you've never made a prayer of commitment to God before. Maybe as a Christian, you've been challenged today because you've wasted your life. And God says, I've got purpose for you. Just you reach out to God and say, God, come and just take control of my life. But maybe you're not a believer today. You can make a simple prayer just like this. It's a simple call on God. Father, I come to you today in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. And today I acknowledge you as my God and as my Savior. Today, I pray that you take control of my life. You come into my life. I pray today that I might know eternal life, that I might know my sins forgiven, that I might know the gift of eternal life you've given to me. So this day, I come to a place of faith and I come to a place of repentance. Help me, direct me, let me discover your purpose in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, church. And as we stand together, let God's Spirit lead us, challenge us again and again to that place where we just don't hear the word, but that we become doers of the word. That God would be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen.